Let's continue reading 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. In these verses, we are told that our Christian faith will be tested and proved. We also learn that our salvation was revealed to the prophets of the Old Testament. Let's begin by reading verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning now at verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Once again, some background notes. You know, the date of AD 64 is quite significant in church history. Why? 64 AD was the year of the great fire in Rome. The Roman Emperor Nero said that the gods were upset because of the Christians. Thus, Christians were blamed for the fire, and the Roman persecutions began. And they did not come to an end until the 4th century. Up until AD 64, Christians were persecuted for their faith, but the source of the persecution was mainly Judaism. Before 64 AD, Christianity was not illegal in the Roman Empire. In fact, Christianity was generally thought of as just a sect of Judaism. But after 64 AD, Christianity became illegal throughout the Roman Empire. Now Christians were greatly persecuted. They were crucified and burned alive and thrown to the lions, as you know. The date of the writing of 1 Peter is around AD 64. Peter wrote this first epistle either right before the Roman persecutions began or soon after the Roman persecutions began. If before, then the Holy Spirit had Peter write this letter in anticipation of the great sufferings for the Christian faith to come in the near future. If Peter wrote this epistle after the Roman persecutions had begun, then it is obvious why there is so much about suffering for the Christian faith in this epistle. In any case, the overall purpose of this epistle of 1 Peter is to encourage Christians who are suffering for their faith, for their Christian faith. God had a purpose in allowing the persecutions of the early Christians. The same is true today. Let me ask you this morning, are you suffering right now in any way because you're a Christian? Well, the study of 1 Peter should be an encouragement to you. Do you know any fellow believers who are suffering for their faith in Christ? Share with them the encouragement for suffering Christians that comes to us from 1 Peter. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this next section of 1 Peter chapter 1. Doctrinal point number one, our faith will be tested and proved. Our faith will be tested and proved. Verses 6 and 7, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gold is a very valuable material and one of the most indestructible materials on earth. Fire certainly doesn't destroy gold. In fact, fire purifies gold and proves that it's gold. Our faith is more precious than gold. That is precious to God. Did you ever think of your faith in that way? Your Christian faith is precious to God. But it will be tested and proved in many ways. How do you react, for example, when there's a huge drop in the stock market? Where do you turn for security in time of need? What is your response to terminal illness? How do you respond to off-color jokes in the workplace? Do you try to defend the faith when critics try to tear it down, whether it be on the college campus or in the office or even in the neighborhood, talking with neighbors? Are you known for being a Christian, or is your testimony hidden? Do you stop sharing your faith when people mock you? Would you deny Christ if you were tortured or your life was threatened? Would you conceal the fact that you're a Christian in order to get a promotion? Will you stop coming to church when things are not going your way? Will you change churches when staying might mean more work? Are you willing to be humbled and eat your pride? Are you willing to forgive someone who has wronged you? On and on we could go. Our faith is tested every day in big and small ways. Everyone has problems, believers and unbelievers. But the subject here is more than problems. The subject here is the trials that are tests, tests of our Christian faith. Now, why does God allow this? Well, verse 7 tells us why. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our faith is refined and purified when it is tested by fire. Just as a precious metal is refined by fire, the dross is burned away. Remember the three in the fiery furnace in Daniel chapter 3? The ropes that bound them were burned, and they were free to walk with the Lord in the midst of the fire. You see the picture there? Through the fires of trial, our faith is purified. We're freed up more. The dross is burned away. We're free to walk with the Lord. Furthermore, when our faith is tested and proved, it results in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is when the Lord returns. Now let me ask you a question. Whose praise and honor and glory? Ours or the Lord's? Again, the end of verse 7. May be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whose praise, honor, and glory? Ours or the Lord's? Ultimately, all praise and honor and glory belong to the Lord. But when our Lord returns, the revelation of Jesus Christ, when our Lord returns, if our faith has proved genuine, he will give praise and honor and glory to us. You realize that? Romans 8:17 says, if we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together. Will we hear the Lord say to us, well done, good and faithful servant? Matthew 25:21. Our faith will be tested and proved. Doctrinal point number 2. Our faith is focused in a person. Capitalize the P. Our faith is focused in a person. Verses 8 and 9. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Verses 8 and 9 here remind us that our Christian faith is not just based on facts. It is placed in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian faith is a personal relationship with Christ. We don't see him now, but we know him now and experience now the glorious joy that only he can give, as we see there in verse 8. Let me ask you, have you experienced that joy? You can. It's available for every believer, and it doesn't depend on your circumstances. It's guaranteed as a benefit of the salvation of your soul, as we see there in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Our faith is focused in a person. And doctrinal point number three, our faith was revealed to the prophets. Our faith was revealed to the prophets. Verses 10 through 12. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. The point of these verses is that the coming of Christ and the salvation that we have in him by faith was not something that came about all of a sudden, like out of the blue. No, it was revealed to the Old Testament prophets. We see that they did not fully comprehend all that they wrote about, but they certainly knew the Messiah was coming with salvation. And they also knew that the Messiah would have to suffer before he was glorified in order to obtain the salvation, as we see there in verse 11. And they also knew that they were not serving themselves, but some special people, namely believers who would come to know Christ, as we see there in verse 12. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Our faith was revealed to the prophets. So in these verses, we've seen three great truths about the Christian faith. One, it will be tested and proved. Two, it is focused in a person. And three, it was revealed to the prophets. What about practical application from this section of 1 Peter chapter 1? Thank the Lord that you're more than an angel. Thank the Lord that you're more than an angel. Let me ask you, would you rather be an angel than a human? Just think, if you were an angel, you wouldn't have any financial problems, and you wouldn't age, and you wouldn't be bound by gravity. On and on we could go. Wouldn't you rather be an angel? Listen, I'm glad that I'm not an angel. Angels are wonderful spirit creatures that God has created to serve, Hebrews 1:14. And we see here in 1 Peter 1:12 that the holy angels love to look into the things of God and learn and wonder. Read Ephesians 3:10 in this connection. But there is no plan of salvation for the fallen angels, Hebrews 2:16. For indeed, he, that is God, does not give aid or help to angels, but he does give aid or help to the seed of Abraham. There is no plan of salvation for the fallen angels. And angels will never know the inexpressible and glorious joy of verse 8 that we will experience forever because of our salvation. So don't forget to thank the Lord that you're more than an angel.